soon afterwards, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Who were with him? 12. And also some women. Now, what, excuse me? Yes. Why is that so good? Why is that so good? They needed prayers and they needed a cook. What else did they need? A balance? Wisdom? Revelation? Does your translation say, and also some woman? What did your translation say? Pardon? And also some woman? Yeah, it is there. How did that get there? And also some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. And Susanna, and what? Many others. Who sat and just listened to Jesus? A what? No. Who did the dishes? No. Sorry. Who cooked the meals? No. What does it say? Who provided for them out of their means? My message today is called Female Followers. This is a message to all the ladies. If you're a female here today, this word is for you today. And if you're a mate, if you're a bloke, then I want you to, there's something in here for you, so that's all good. So female followers, you know, this passage begins with soon afterwards. What's the story before the soon afterwards? Quickly look at the previous story. And tell me, what was the story of the soon afterwards? What happened? Yeah. The story is of the woman, the sinful woman, who is forgiven a lot. And she ministers to Jesus generously. She gives him a great gift, pours it upon his feet, upon his head, anoints him, and shows great and generous love. This is a powerful story, and by the way, a story that is remembered still today, and Jesus said that this would be the case. And her generosity results in this. Soon after that story, that story of a woman with great love and great generosity who had been forgiven much and who loves much. Out of this wonderful story, is that we're introduced to the fact that she's one of many who follows Jesus. So let's just break this passage open here and apply it for us today. So soon afterwards, straight after this event, he went on through the cities and villages. You see, Jesus' whole ministry was to get to the multitudes. He had work to do. And we'll see later that this work, he who could do anything, he could create anything. At one stage, there was some tax that needed to be paid, and he called Peter to go and catch a fish, and in its mouth was a coin needed to pay tax. He could provide any way he wanted, but he chose, who was the king of all, chose to accept the giving and generosity of woman. This is a strategic insight. This is a significant thing. Because he was, again, well able to provide his own needs. He turned water into wine. He turned multiplied fish. He caused money to come out of the mouth of fish. He was well able to provide for himself, but he chose to not only hold back his own supernatural hand of provision, but he chose also to accept the generosity of others, and especially, we read in this passage, a woman. He chose to live a need that would only be fulfilled through the activity of woman. He chose to live in a partnership environment where others could participate in his great work through generosity and service. So, here he is. He's out doing what he's supposed to do, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom. And he's out there with 12. In the early life of ministry, we get this picture of him by himself, but it's only the early life. Right at the very beginning, he's by himself. It's not long before he chooses 12. And you better believe, with all the miracles and all the things going on, you got a whole entourage of people. People watching, people studying. It's not just him with the 12. Others are there. There's a whole lot of food to be provided. There's a whole lot of needs. People working. You don't just walk into a room and all of a sudden the food's there. A lot of people have worked hard, enslaved, and provided and given, just like at conference. People came to conference, and there were toilets all nice and pristine and clean, with things carpeted, the carpet clean, and the chairs adjusted, windows cleaned, coffee machine grinding away there and making lovely fresh-smelling coffee, and things freshly baked. And lots of people had done a lot of things so people could walk in and enjoy the kingdom of God. And in this picture, Jesus, we get this picture of Jesus' increasing entourage of people that followed around behind him, and he chose to embrace partnership to achieve the purpose of the kingdom. And interestingly enough, he chose a woman to do that, which was, we need to understand the culture of the day we lived, that he was in. Yeah, Jews thanked God that, number one, they weren't born dogs. Jewish men, thank God they weren't born dogs. Number two, they thank God that they weren't born Gentiles. And number three, Jewish men thank God they weren't born women. And it was in that hierarchy. Praise God I'm not a dog. Praise God I'm not a Gentile. And oh yes, praise God I'm not a woman. Terrible. And this was the environment that Jesus was functioning in. And scattered right throughout the Bible is this raising up of woman and acknowledging the value and the place of woman in strategic ministry. And whilst in this, his first disciples were all men, as we continue to read the ongoing acts of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts, we see the raising up of more and more and more women. Why? Because in his own ministry, women played a strategic role and partnership with him. But the interesting thing here we read in this passage is this. That not only is he out there doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's out there with a whole group of people, and it says, also some women. Now, these women all had stories. They followed him. Not because they had a job to do. Not because they were one of the disciples. Not because they had a title. Not because they had a position. They followed him because they loved him. They'd been set free of demonic powers. They'd received their healing. They would now follow Jesus wherever he would go. And as he went from town to town and city to city, and this group of 12 came with them, there was this growing army of women who were there because they just were so grateful, and they gave of their energies. These were women of means. They were businesswomen. They were women who were women of wealth and women of capacity. Women of who were so out of a heart of gratitude, wanted to do all they could to serve and their deliverer. But just to be with them, that was the whole idea, just to be. You have a need, I'm there. You need a meal, I'll gladly do it. Dishes to be, I'll do it. Food to be provided, I'll do it. And they were there, they did what they could and how they could because they were just so grateful. end of the day, that should be the attitude of us all in service. Doing something not because we have a position. Doing something not because we have a responsibility. But doing something out of an attitude of gratitude. You know, the Bible says that God searches the heart. And everything we do, you know, the Bible talks about now giving. If we give out of a wrong attitude, it negates the giving. But when we give out of a right attitude, there is a reward with it. When we serve out of a bad attitude, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to. My name's down on the roster. Or who else is going to do it? Me again. And this whole sort of response positions us to be robbed. But when we are, God, you're awesome. You've done so much for me. What can I do to bless? What can I do to serve? How can I be like you? How can I follow you? And I see you, and as Jesus went from town to town and village to village ministering to need, where are you, Lord? What are you wanting to do? And how can I go with you and be hands for you and be feet for you and be a voice for you and be a finance for you in that whole? What can I do to help you and what you're doing? This is a beautiful passage. And it says here, and the 12 were with him, and also some women. And these women, again, as I said, they had stories. Do you have a story? Do you have a story of what God has done for you? Who has a story for what God has done for them? Men and women. Who has a story for what God has done for them? That's right. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but now I'm forgiven. I was on my way to a lost eternity. I'm on my way to a full eternity. I was in debt. God canceled my debt. I was discouraged. God encouraged me. I was lost. And now I'm found. I was without purpose, and now I have a purpose. I was lonely, and God is now my focus. He is my companion. He is my friend. To have a testimony. Do you have that testimony? Man or woman, today, what's your testimony? Has God invaded you now? Has he given you a story? Has he transformed your life? Has he given your has he provided forgiveness? Has you begun that relationship with God? Listen, if your experience with God is just a theological one or a one of the head stuff you know about God, I want to tell you it's way more than that. There's an old song we used to sing years ago, to get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. When you draw near to him, he draws near to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Amen. Those of you who have received grace from God and love from God and a miracle from God, you can never be the same. And sometimes, I think we need to be reminded about what God has done for us. It then repositions us to follow him where he wants to go and serve as he wants us to serve. Have you got your story? Are you saved? If you're not saved, if you haven't found Jesus Christ, today can be your first story. Today can be the day he can come and invade your life and forgive you and cleanse you and raise you up into a whole new level. You know, I was only 11 years old when I gave my life to Christ. You know, I wasn't an alcoholic and a drug addict and a criminal, godfather. I was 11 years old. But I'll never forget the day when I invited Christ into my life and I realized something shifted and changed and he became real to me. And I have a story. I have a story as an 11-year-old boy, whilst being from a religious background, finally finding Jesus Christ. I have a story. You have a story. Emily, you have a story. My dear sister, you have a story. You know what God has done in and through you. And if you'll just continue to run with what you know about God and spend time with him and follow his lead, you can be involved in being involved in his kingdom ministry. It is fair to say, had these women not positioned themselves to be grateful followers and funders of Jesus, he would have been in lack. He chose not to provide these things for himself. Some years ago, the Lord challenged me to go to Myanmar and train church planters and make a commitment to go there four times a year for 3 years. Big commitment. My wife did the math on it, and she said, Tony, we have a monthly shortfall in our finances to achieve this of $1,500 a month. Now, I made the commitment. I thought, God, this is miracle territory. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And then I was back from the first phase, and I got a phone call from a businessman. He said, Tony, come meet with me and have a cup of coffee. He said, Tony, how's your finances? And I hate that question. I was living, you know, most of what I was doing was by faith. And I just said, God is good. He always provides. And he said, okay. Well, look, he said, when I was on holiday, I had a dream. The dream was of you. I saw you clearly, and in the dream, God said, I want you to support Tony $1,500 a month. And then he said, if you don't do it, I'll hold you personally accountable for his ministry, which was a pretty hefty word. He pulled out his checkbook and gave me $4,500 right there, 3 months. Now, very rarely am I lost for words, but I'm sitting there like a cook straight groper. God had provided. But he provided because someone was ready to, someone with capacity was able to back what God wanted to do. You know, God has done so much for you. Think of what he's done for you. And when it comes to serving, do it out of an absolute heart of attitude and gratitude, an attitude of gratitude towards God for his goodness. And so these ladies, some women, they were with Jesus and the disciples. And you better believe they not only was grateful for Jesus, but they were grateful for the disciples. And they realized they had a work to do. And I'm just so grateful over the years for people who have prayed for me and have partnered with me financially when I was an itinerant evangelist around New Zealand. Families. And sometimes it was people with the least amount of money. When I went, God was directing me to go to Bible school. I had nothing. And as I was about to go, a friend of mine, Derek, my youth pastor, he had very little money. And he said, Tony, he said, I'm making a pledge right now. I'm going to give you $500 this year towards your Bible college. And I thought, praise God. That was a lot of money back then. And I arrived with no, I got up to there. I had no money to pay my school fees. And I had no money for anything else. But as I arrived, there was a letter in the mail from someone who had spoken at a camp I'd been to recently. And he had inputted into me. He heard that I was there. And he said, Tony, I'm pleased you're at Bible school. Here's a little gift just to encourage you. It was my first $50. And as the year wore on, the money came in. I was able to pay for my school fees. And, of course, it was a live-in course, so I had to pay for all my accommodation and everything like that. And Derek's money didn't come in, the guy who pledged 500. As the months went on, it didn't come in. I didn't hold him to it. But as it was getting near the end of my time there, and I was still needing a final bit of amount of money, right at near the end of the year, the $500 came in. And it was lovely just to be able to pay off my school fees. And when I went back down to Levin, he was here in Levin at the time, I went back to him and I said, Derek, thank you so much for your generosity. And he said, I said I would, and I'm pleased I did. He said, I had to sell my car to do it. And he said, but the only reason why I tell you that is, after I had done that, God provided me a far better car. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. And I've always, you know, my uncle and my auntie, they gave me weekly support from Levin, and they're not church people. They were excited about what I did, and they just, every single month, they sent, I think it was about $40 or whatever, which was really awesome. And they're not even church people. And it's amazing how God will, not only God will provide through followers of Jesus Christ, but through other ways. And anyway, there was stuff to be provided, and these people were fully engaged. And they all had stories, and out of those stories, they gave out of gratitude. And like, for example, Mary Magdalene, who had the seven demons. Research says that Mary Magdalene was a very successful businesswoman. She had great abundance. She was astute. She was well off. And she gave what she could. Then there was Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager. This woman was a woman of influence. And you better believe she updated. It was because she was closely related to the ministry of Jesus. She was Herod was updated with what went on. And there was Susanna. We don't know anything else except of Susanna, except she's within this huge. She was listed there. These three women are listed amongst many. It says, because it goes on to say, who provided for them out of their means. And many others who provided out of their means. And so out of the many who served, these three women are just given as examples. I wonder how many there were. 5? 10? 20? 50? I don't know. But they were enough to see the ministry of the kingdom launched. And 2,000 years later, we're still enjoying advance of the kingdom. I'm speaking to you, ladies. The kingdom of God needs you fully engaged. If you have a story about what God has done in you and through you, God wants to see you fully engaged. Follow Him. You've given your life to Him. Follow Him into a place of service. Continue to give all. Don't hold back. Having received so much, don't watch on while others engage in the kingdom. Position yourself as followers to be funders or to be servants or to be supporters. No doubt there were a number of women who couldn't provide the money, but they could provide. They just, any way they could serve and minister and be there, they did. It really wasn't about money as it was about just supporting and backing what Jesus was wanting to do. You see, these female followers of Jesus, A, traveled with Jesus. Having begun the journey, they carried on the journey. And B, they all had powerful testimonies. They all had stories about what God had done in them. Let God invade you now. Right now, you have your stories. Judith, you have your stories. Maria, you have your stories. We all have our stories. And we've surrendered all. Come on, it's time now to follow Jesus into 2016 and allow Him to show us how we can serve and minister and back what He's wanting to do. For some of you, it'll be in the context of this church. For others, it'll be on another mission field somewhere. For others, it will be in a strategic place of service in our community, following Jesus into that realm and giving your best with your testimony and your declaration of the goodness of God, giving your best to serve what God is wanting to do. In the arts, in business, and community projects with the needy. There's so many realms in order to make real the kingdom of God. One or two more thoughts I just want to leave with you as I begin to bring this message to a close. You see, Jesus elevated woman above the status given to them by society. Now, praise God, we live in a nation where for years women have known that they can do anything. But it's really important we understand that and continue to encourage our ladies. Because whilst we live in a country where people, women have held the top roles in our nation and have played strategic roles, launching missionary organizations and serving in different fields and church environments, it's really important to rise up into that afresh individually. God, you can do that through me. There's so much more. Because you've done so much for me, I want to follow you the whole way. And God wants to, wants to elevate not just women, but us all. Guys, he wants to raise us up into a place of effective ministry. Life is more than work. Life is more than finance. Life is more than accumulation of stuff. Life is more than meeting my own needs. Life in Jesus is found by following him and engaging as he guides and directs. Number two, Jesus used and encouraged women in ministry. And this year, you know, in Yonggi Cho's church, had about 800,000 people in his church. And it was all based on multiplication of small groups, house churches, home groups. 80% of the home group leaders in his church were women. In many church planting movements around the world that are growing rapidly and seeing whole nations being reached for Christ, most of them are being led by women. It's not that God doesn't want to use men. I think women are just a lot quicker to say, yes, Lord. There could have been men funding and following Jesus, but it was the women who were there quick and ready to say, yes, Lord. So I want to say to us guys here, come on. Let's just not watch them women do the job. They need to. But come on, let's take our place. Let us engage in 2016 and take a place of serving and rolling, serving and backing what God is wanting to do. Also in the role of women, Jesus did not allow his culture to dictate the ways in which women were used in his ministry. I look forward to more and more of the ladies in our church initiating key events, involved in significant projects, touching our nation and the nations. Oh, what we want to see is some women with their hair on fire going hard for the kingdom of God. This nation needs it. And come on, blokes. Let's just not be cheering them on. Let's take our place also. One's spirituality or significance to Christ is not measured by one's prominence, power, or position, but by one's heart for God. Really interesting in this passage. It's like, and Jesus went about and did this. And, the disciples followed. And then there were the women who funded and backed what he was doing. It was like these 12 disciples, and you know, a lot of it was hinging on them, but it was like they were probably hanging around with Jesus and watching this woman fully engaged and probably sitting back a little bit and enjoying it all. And I think Jesus was saying, don't you get it? These women get it. They're fully engaged. They don't have the titles. They don't have the positions. But they're making possible that which needs to be made possible. And you know, I just think of Phyllis, who every single Sunday she comes and she gets communion ready. And she gives out, yeah, if you get a birthday card from this church, it's Phyllis who's gone, happy birthday from Hope Center Levin. But not only that, she'll get involved in a spiritual conversation with someone if she feels the door's opened up to be able to share her story about what God has done in her life. Fantastic. You don't have to be called elder so-and-so, pastor so-and-so. Some years ago, a friend of mine, Tim, and I went to America. and we attended a church, and we were in a small gathering. And so we said, look, we'd like to get to know you first. What's your name? We expect to say, hey, I'm Bob. I'm Ann. I'm Mary. But they went, I'm Deacon Robson. I'm Usher Samuel. I'm Elder Robertson. And it went around big titles and really excited about what position they held. And it went around to us, who were the guest speakers. And Tim said, I'm Tim. I said, I'm Tony. You know? And sometimes, you know, that whole title thing is a bit of an issue, really, isn't it? Now, I appreciate that some of you call me pastor because you say, oh, you know, it's a sign of respect. But listen, it's a job I hold. It's not even a gift I have. And my name's Tony. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you can call me Tony. I was meeting with someone just the other day, and he said, I was helping them getting their car going again. And he said, oh, thanks, Pastor. I said, Tony. You see, we're not known, position means nothing. It's who we're following that is everything. So I'm asking you as we get ready to start 2016. Ladies, will you help make possible the ministry of Jesus in 2016? When you position yourself in a place of service, when you position yourself using your story and your gifts and your grace and your resources to make possible the kingdom of God, then you will build his kingdom. It cannot happen without you. Can't happen without you. I believe in the life of this church, if we will all be fully engaged, then what God will do in and through this place will be absolutely phenomenal. But it cannot happen without you. Do not think that simply by coming and attending this church that you are engaging your destiny. It's not like that. Follow Jesus into every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And see what he will do if you're back how he guides you and directs you. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Would you please stand? Thank you, Lord. Interesting, as I shared this word, I sensed two things. Some embracing it, and some, for whatever reason, putting barriers up in their life. Like, I don't really want to open up because I fear what might be on the other side of that. And, you know, fear is not a rule of the kingdom. God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. I'm asking you to drop your guard. Now, I can guarantee you position your place in a place of service, people will abuse your service, and when you serve people, people will hurt you. That's life. It's not just church. It's life. Wherever you are, you have any relationship with other people, sometimes they'll abuse you. It's life. I wish it wouldn't happen in church, but it does happen at times. Does that mean we pull back simply because we're scared of the potential whatever? I challenge you this year. Embrace it all. And when something happens which you don't like, I guarantee you it will. Remember why you're doing it. Why are you doing it? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Ladies, the kingdom of God needs you 2016. Ladies, even in the life of this church, we need you to be fully engaged with your barrier down and vulnerable. We need your best engaged in the kingdom. men, let's not just watch on from a distance. Let's fully engage, following Jesus as he leads us as to what to do. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Can God use me? Yes. Maybe you say, Tony, I don't, my stories of Jesus are older. I feel this distance. Isn't it time for you to come back to the Lord? Right now is a good opportunity to come back. Right now, well, you can say, Lord, why don't you pray this prayer? Everybody pray this prayer with me. Lord, I recommit my life to you. I know you are a good God. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your forgiveness. I don't deserve your healing. I don't deserve your deliverance. But I accept it all by faith. I turn around to live for you. Help me to follow you. To follow your lead. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we follow, he begins to make us what we are to be. Will you follow him this year? Will you? He's calling you by name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Guys, it's time for us to step it up. Not to be half-hearted, not to be distracted with other things, but to continue to follow Jesus with all we have into that which he's calling us to do. We give you praise right now. And Father, I ask as we move on from this day that you would use us to build the kingdom of God and back what Jesus is wanting to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Richard, would you just put some music on if you can? And if you know God's been speaking to you in this process, I want to just agree with you in prayer. I want to lay hands and just pray that God will seal that word and God would use you. You would follow his lead into 2016. God bless you, everybody. You're free to go, but I invite you, if you know God's been speaking to you, please come forward. I want to pray.